I was looking at the story of Elijah and Elisha, which is a sort of parallel, if you like. And that final farewell that the two of them share before Elijah is taken up on a chariot of fire. And in the passage, there doesn't seem to be too much restriction on Elisha whenever he's left. He's not sort of running off to do something straight away. He has time to grieve the loss of his master, to try out and see if he has received that double portion, and then he moves on. The disciples don't have that luxury in Acts chapter 1. They're there, and that crazy journey that they have been on, which has gone from Thursday in the garden to Friday by the cross to confusion on Saturday, and then what just happened on Sunday. And then in that interim, before the ascension, Jesus is a visitor to them, to speak to them, to comfort them, to help them to make sense and understand all of the things that have happened, which would take a considerable amount to figure out. And then that time itself draws to a close. But what strikes me as interesting in the first instance is what we see as Jesus is taken from them and rising from the earth to the heavens. And you can't fault them. Sometimes we look at what the disciples do, what they say, and we can criticize sometimes what they did or what they didn't do. But you can't fault them here, because they're looking at Jesus as another indescribable thing is happening before them. And even that gets interrupted. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." On an ascension day, I think that first thing that strikes me is that it's far too easy for Christians to stay in the sky, knowing the greatness and the glory and the goodness of God, and even just understanding that tip of the iceberg that we can. It would be very easy for us, like the disciples, to just stand there and in awe look up into the sky and thank God for Jesus. But then we're quickly reminded that it doesn't stop there. In fact, almost immediately, like the disciples, we're challenged to start living on this earth as his disciples, not as people who are bystanders or sky watchers. And we are actively told to do something. A number of years ago, I was in the Swansea Valley in a farmhouse, and it was with the family of an artist who I really like. He had unfortunately died a number of years before, but they'd kindly agreed to allow me to have a look at some of his paintings, not for myself, but for an army unit where we were putting a chapel together, and I was hoping that something would be there that we could have. Three of these pictures were sat on the floor. Two of them stood out because they looked pretty good. One was purchased, the other was left. But it's the one that was left which had me thinking today. There is a picture that it was imitating, and There's a German painter, Hans Suss von Klumbach, The Ascension of Christ. And it's one that never fails to bring a little chuckle. Because beautifully painted on the earth beneath are the disciples and those who Jesus loved. And they're looking upwards. Of course they are. But all that you and I can see in the picture, right at the top by the frame, are two little feet. And it makes me laugh every time I see it. But the one thing that stops me laughing is, on those two little feet are the scars of the cross. I was buying that picture, the original one that was bought, for the parachute regiment. And when I looked at the two little feet, I thought, that couldn't be worse for what I would want it for. Yes, in one way, you could see those two little feet coming down to earth with a little parachute. But actually, in this instance, paras don't go from earth upwards. They come from the sky downwards. So it wasn't right. And I could see that some of them would find it quite funny, which it wasn't meant to be. Little feet. Something as simple as that, but it speaks volumes to us. The scars of the cross on those feet, the fact that they're not planted on earth anymore. Some artists later on in history decided to embellish their pictures a little bit more. And what they would do would be to put the imprints of those feet on what would be the Mount of Olives, so you could put one and one together and figure out that, yes, the little muddy marks that were on the mountain belonged to the person who was now ascending into heaven. The view from below of what is left is what we are all left with. It's what the disciples were left with. But they weren't allowed, as we are not allowed, to dwell on what has just happened. Because Jesus had spent all of that time and effort telling the disciples that there will be a time when I will not be with you anymore. But that's not the end of it. In fact, it's just the beginning. I find in the Church of Scotland website some beautiful things, and I think it would be amiss of me not to share them with you. I think for me, myself, where I am and how I feel about grief and loss and about that pain, that so much of the Ascension message is a real comfort and actually an encouragement to do what the angels were telling the disciples to do and keep going. C.S. Eliot said this: what we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. For the disciples, that was very much the case. And for us, as we live, going through that series of endings and beginnings, we find ourselves starting at an ending much of the time. This is a little reflection that was shared. I'll share it with you. If you want to close your eyes and listen to these words, I think they have a real power. You may wish to imagine Peter's thoughts on that day. Never again, Jesus, shall we break bread. Never again shall we break bread together in this world. Never again will you teach me to fish on Galilee. Never again will I go walking on water with you. Never again will you wash my feet. Never again will you greet me from the dawn-lit shore. Never again will you sleep in my boat, oblivious seemingly to the wind and waves. Never again will you preach in my village, disturb our worship, yet bring healing and hope to so many at evening. Never again will you stay at mine and enjoy home cooking. Never again will you rouse me from deep sleep to watch with you and pray. Never again, Jesus, this side of heaven, will we laugh, weep, and walk together. Yet sometimes I feel sure you will still chide me for my lack of faith, for my headstrong will and stubborn pride, and for my ignorant presumption. Sometimes too, and I shall grieve at this, I will sense your gaze when I deny or betray you, even though you are not there with me. For whenever the cock crows, I will weep. Whenever fish are grilled and charcoal, I will remember. Yes, Jesus, I will miss you. A cloud has veiled you from my sight. You have gone, but only that part which eyes, ears, and hands can sense. And yet always you are and will be with us, not as past memory, but as present tense and future hope. Not as the carpenter, but as the king. Not as the stranger, but as our friend. Not as the victim, but as our Saviour. We shall know you as the scriptures burn within us. We shall touch you in the neighbour that we love. We shall hear you in the silence when we pray. We shall see you when bread is broken and wine outpoured. Yet these are but a foretaste of that joy, when you will come and we shall be with you forever. And never cloud shall veil you from our sight. I like that a lot. I think it just reminds us that those disciples were in that space where they were thrown up in the air themselves and were only just starting to think about finding their feet. And it's a little bit like that for all of us. So Ascension isn't just one of those days that fits somewhere between Easter and Christmas. It has a real deep significance. It reminds us of Jesus who is accomplishing his time on earth, who finishes it with a blaze of glory, and who challenges us to remember him and to do likewise. Amen.